Good morning. Last week we began the sugya of an uman, as we pointed out that a craftsman is a shomer sachar. If you bring a suit to the cleaners, a car to the mechanic, and they're working on it, although they're getting paid for the repair, they're not being paid explicitly to watch it. Nevertheless, you have a din of a shomer sachar, and if it gets stolen or lost, they're responsible for the loss. The end. We pointed out there are a number of reasons. The simple pshat in the Gemara is because they're benefiting, because you're hiring them to work on this item. They're not watching it because they're nice people as a volunteer. The reason why they have it is because it's for their benefit. They have a job. They're going to earn money off it. And that, even though it's not a direct payment for a shomer sachar, nevertheless, that is enough to make you into a shomer sachar. Pointed out, the Machane Ephraim held that you needed more than that. You needed tafis ayigre, the fact that they were holding it as collateral to make sure you get paid. However, according to the Machane Ephraim, if you prepaid for the work, you paid them, and therefore they don't need the item to force you to pay. They have your money already. There, the Machane Ephraim held the maskana that would be a shomer chinam. The Sma added another condition that you only become a shomer sachar when you're a koblin, as opposed to a pile, when you're being paid for the job, not being paid by the hour. But on top of that, you're only a shomer sachar when you have possession of the item. You drop off your suit by the cleaners. Since it's in their possession, they have to guard it. They have a din of a shomer sachar. On the other hand, if you call someone to do a repair in your house, you have a warranty, you call someone down to repair your computer, they're working on the computer in your house, there, the Sma holds, you do not become a shomer sachar, because you're not in charge. The Baal HaBayis, the owner, is still there. He can watch it himself. So although you're working on it, you do not become a shomer sachar. Now, it's an interesting machlokes. What is the status of a misharis? Someone who's, I guess, you know, cleaning help. You have someone who helps you around the house with your, you know, the fellow in charge of maintenance. Is he a shomer sachar on everything that he's working on? No, mstamanat. The regular din of shomer would apply. So the Marshach says that a misharis, if you're paying someone to take care of things around your house, they're not being paid to watch things, they're being paid to clean and to repair or whatever they're supposed to be doing. And therefore the Marshach says he has a din of a shomer sachar. The Tzois and many other achronim argue. And they really compare it to our sugya. Although they're getting paid to clean or to repair or to whatever maintenance they have to do, at the end of the day, they're benefiting from the fact they're working on your item. They have a job to do. And therefore, just like we learned over here in Uman, even though he's not getting paid to guard it, but since he's getting paid to work on this item, he becomes a shomer sachar on this item. So in Misharis as well, even though they're getting paid to clean, since their bottom line is they're benefiting from this item, therefore they have responsibilities to watch it. Oh, but you're asking a great question. And that is, we just said 2 minutes ago that according to the Machane Ephraim, you're only a shomer sachar when it's tafis ayigre. When you have the item, it's collateral to make sure you get paid. Your cleaning lady is not supposed to be taking the silver as collateral. So according to Machane Ephraim, even though they're benefiting by working on the item, but it's not tafis ayigre, you would not be a shomer sachar. Now on top of it, even putting that aside, the Sma said that you're only a shomer sachar when you're taking it into your possession, you're working in your house. On the other hand, if the job is being done by Beis Baal HaBayis, there the Baal HaBayis is not Mesalik Shmira, and therefore you wouldn't be a shomer sachar, you wouldn't be a shomer at all. And therefore, in most cases of a Masharis, since he's working in the employer's house, he never takes possession of it, you would always have the Sma to rely on that you do not become a shomer. An exception perhaps would be is if you send the person on an errand, you tell them to take it somewhere, drop it off, deliver it. At that point, where you leave the Baal HaBayis is Rishus, you're going through the street to deliver it. At that point, even though you're not getting paid as a shomer, nevertheless, it's in your possession. So you putting Machane Ephraim aside, you would have a din of a shomer sachar because you're benefiting. You're getting paid. Your job is to do whatever the Baal HaBayis tells you to do, and right now you're earning money by delivering this item.
But if you're the Baal HaBayis, it seems that they don't get broken, right?
Okay, excellent, excellent. So there's, you find these kind of svaras in the Achronim really both ways. On one hand, if you tell this Mishares, now I want you to watch this item. So everyone would agree, and at this point, you're a Shomer Sachar. It's true, you have many other tasks, but now this is your job, that's Shmira. And this kind of argument is brought in by a Bala Golo who's traveling. So some, you know, again, it's negated with Machan Ephraim, different shitas lahalacha, but one of the svaras that they propose is when you're delivering something, part of delivery is making sure it gets there. That means doing shmira along the way, and therefore you might be an explicit shomer, not just because of this chiddush that you happen to be benefiting. It may be included in the job description. The other, wait, what? Okay, excellent. So that's okay. You're introducing a new question, which is really a very broad question. Whenever I drop off my suit at the cleaners. So there's someone who owns the cleaners who I now have a responsibility to. I'm going to pay them X amount of dollars. They're going to clean my suit. The owner is probably, it may not be there. It might be, he might give it at the back to some person who's working in the back getting paid $8 an hour. Who's the Shomer Sachar? Is it the employee who may or may not speak English? Or is it a relationship with the company? That's a great question. We'll get address it at the end of Sif Beis. But anyway, going back to the question of when you become a Shomer Sachar, there's also the argument the other way, and that is that if you hire someone for specific jobs, and then the boss tells them, you know what, go drop this off somewhere. Now it's not in your job description. You have the right to say, no, that's not what I'm here for. My responsibility is to do computer programming. I'm not your delivery man. Now, you might have the right to do that, but it's likely unwise. So you probably say, no problem, I'll drop it off. Now, in that case, you can make a very strong argument. You're not a Shomer Sachar. Because although you're his employee, this is not what you're getting paid to do. You don't have an obligation to do it. So while you're doing it because you don't want to get fired, to say you're getting paid to do this task is a little bit of a stretch. Now, I guess if he works 9 to 5, and if he wasn't doing this, he'd have to do something else. So then, at the end of the day, he's getting paid for his time. But if it's more of a, if it's a looser relationship where he doesn't clock in and clock out, he's just there as a programmer, and now the boss tells him, go do something else, there he's not getting paid specifically for this. I think in that case, Mestama, everyone would agree, he would have the din of a Shomer Chinam. Now, another case where in halacha it's very important to know whether you're a Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar is every time you do a Heter Iska. Now, when you lend someone money with a Heter Iska, so by now I hope everyone knows that it's not a halva, it's a chatzim of a chatzim pekodim. If you're giving him $100,000, so $50,000 is considered an interest-free loan. The other $50,000 is a pikadon, which means he invests it on your behalf. If he makes money, that profit accrues to you. If he has a hefsid, you have to eat that loss. Now, the way we protect the lender to make sure is that if you want to claim there's a loss, you have to bring edim. If you want to claim there are no profits, you'll have to make a shvua. And if you can't do that, you'll have to pay the 10% interest, whatever the agreed-upon rate is. That's how we make sure you get your interest, if you will. But the Yisoid HaDavar is, it's not a loan. Half the money is a loan. The other half of the money is a pikadon where he's managing the investment on your behalf. What happens if you give someone money to Heter Iska, and he invests in real estate? Problem is, he's a shlamazel. And at the end of the year, when you want to take your payment, you want to take your profits, he comes to Beis Din, says, I lost every penny. Half of it is a loan, I have to pay you back. The other half was a pikadon, but I'm very sorry. Your investment went down the tubes. It's not my achrayus. Now, if he can bring edim, that in fact is what happened. The money is gone. So as a pikadon, because he was managing on your behalf, you're going to eat that loss. The question is, what happens if he's negligent? He didn't do any due diligence. He just took the money, he saw everyone else is making a lot of money in real estate, just went ahead, bought a property, and it was a disaster. He was pishay. So in that case, the chatzim mova he has to pay, it's a loan, there's nothing to talk about. Even the pikadon, the investment that he was managing on your behalf, he's a shomer. If he was negligent, and that's why he lost the money, he's liable to pay, not because it's a halva, but simply because he's a shomer that was pesheya. What happens if there was no negligence, but it was geneva v'aveda? He went ahead, he bought merchandise for you, and one night, crooks came in, they broke into the store, cleaned out the warehouse. It's all gone. He wasn't negligent, it was geneva v'aveda. Who suffers the loss? The investor or the borrower slash recipient? So what's the question? The question is he a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar on the money that he's investing? Now, who gets the profits from the pikadon? In theory, the profits go to the investor. That's why it's a pikadon. He gets the profits, he gets the losses. So at least conceptually, he can argue, I'm not a shomer sachar, I'm a shomer chinam. On the money that this pikadon generates, you get. Therefore, I'm just a volunteer. I'm a shomer chinam. But the loan is separate. If this is payment for a loan, it would be ribbis. The loan was an interest-free loan.
The shomer received payment for the fact that he got the advantage of having a loan.
But you can't, no, because if you look at it, that he's managing the investment like this. So you're raising is really a basic problem, really, in Hilchos Ribbis. What's really happening over here? What's really happening is I'm borrowing, half the money is a loan that I put in my pocket. The other half is a pikadon that I'm managing for you. Why am I managing it for you, for free? Okay, I got the loan. Now, why isn't that itself ribbis?
Oh,
very good. So the answer is, your Huda is completely correct, that you have to, because of this problem, you have to pay the person for taking care of the pikadon. Now, if you don't make up anything, you have to pay him his full salary. If you make up in advance, you can give a davar muat, if you give him a dollar to pay him for managing the iska, that's enough. Why? It's a good question. But that's the halacha. As long as you pay him, you're paying him a token amount, now he's getting paid for managing the iska. Zok deraivid, if that's true, on the pikadon, you're not a volunteer. You're a shomer sachar. Why? Because you get a dollar. You're getting paid to manage this investment. The moment you're getting paid a dollar to take care of this pikadon, you're getting paid, you're an uman, you have a din of a shomer sachar. Now, a dollar is not all that lucrative. You're working the entire year for a buck. But, as we pointed out, if you're getting paid, Beis Din doesn't question whether you're getting underpaid or overpaid. You're getting paid to manage this investment, you're a shomer sachar. And therefore, the ra'avad holds, when you have an iska, if the money is lost, b'gnei v'aveda, you're going to be responsible on the entire amount, even on the kulei pikadon. The Rambam argues. The Rambam says, l'halacha on a heter iska, the half of the iska, the pikadon part, you're only a shomer chinam. If you're negligent, you're responsible. But as long as you're not negligent, if someone breaks in at night and steals it, you're off the hook. It's the owner's loss. You're getting paid a dollar. Chori should be a shomer sachar. So in that, the Gedulei Truma says no. He says like this. When you're getting paid to do the work, who benefits from the fact that you get paid? When you go to cleaners, so you're going to pay him $1.50 to clean the shirt. Who benefits from this pay? The cleaners. He's here to make money. When you do a heter iska, you're giving the person $3 million, he's paying 12% on the iska. What's he getting paid to manage this pikadon? A dollar. What would be if you forgot to write the iska? You forgot to give him the dollar. You forgot. We were in a rush to do the deal. He didn't get paid a dollar. Who's going to end up ahead? The malva or the loiva? In that case, the loiva is going to make a killing. There's an iser ribbis. He doesn't have to give any profits. There's an iser ribbis. Zogt, the Gedulei Truma, paying the person a dollar, it's true. He gets a dollar in his pocket. But this is a very expensive dollar for him. Because through paying this dollar, now you can take the revochim of all of the entire pikadon, and it'll end up costing the shomer a lot more than he's getting. In that case, the Gedulei Truma and the Rambam holds, that's not called a shomer sachar. Getting paid a dollar puts you in a worse position than if you're not getting the dollar, because now you have to pay the revochim. And therefore, he says, in such a case, you blive a shomer chinam. No, in Hilchos Ribbis, once you're getting paid a token amount for your work, you're not working for free. That resolves the Hilchos Ribbis problem. Again, whatever the reason for that is. If you want to know when I'm watching it, again, I'm not paying you to watch it. If I paid you to watch it, If I pay you a dime to watch it, you're a Shomer Sachar. I'm paying you to work on it. The question is, who's benefiting from this relationship, or this arrangement? Since this arrangement benefits the fact that the payment benefits the lender, not the borrower, says that has a din of a Shomer Chinam. Now, as far as halacha l'maisa, this is a machloikis. The poskim say you can say kimli like the Rambam, you'd have the din of a shomer chinam. However, in practice today, I don't think this would really apply. And the reason is that the discussion of the Rambam and Ravid was by a real iska, where you gave the person the money. At the end of the year, whatever the profits or losses were, you split 50-50. So in that case, the chatz, the hava, part of it is a hava, part of it is a pikadon. We have to figure out, are you getting paid to manage the pikadon, or are you not getting paid to manage the pikadon? Today, a typical heteriska is very different. Today on a heteriska, it starts off by saying we're 50-50 partners on the upside and the downside. But then we cap it. The borrower has the right that if he pays the lender 6%, 8%, some agreed upon what we'll call interest rate, then he doesn't have to make a shvua, he doesn't have to bring edim, and all the rest of the profits belong to him. What that means is, by definition, he's getting a very real pay. He's getting whatever the rate is, let's say it's 8% on the loan, he's getting the right that every dime above the 8% goes into his pocket. That, l'chayr, is pashur, is schar, that's something that has value, and therefore, yet to the regular din of an uman, there would be a shomer sachar, even according to the Rambam. So even though in theory we can say kindly like the Rambam, that's only on a real iska. When there's a heter iska that caps the lender's profit and everything above that amount, the borrower gets to keep, that l'chayr is a clear payment, and there you'd have a din of a shomer sachar l'kulayam. Now, in truth, that really brings up the next halacha at the end of the sif, and that is, we've established that that an uman who's working on an item is a shomer sachar. What happens when he's done? You know, you drop your suit off at the cleaners, so clearly while he's working on it, he has a din of a shomer sachar. If someone breaks into the store and steals it, he's going to be responsible. So you drop off your suit on Thursday, it's going to be ready on Tuesday. Tuesday comes and goes, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 6 months later, you still haven't picked it up. When you finally get around to going to the store, they can't find it. What are his responsibilities? So clearly, when he started working on it, he was a shomer sachar. He's an uman, he's getting paid to do the job, it's in his possession, he's responsible for gneiva aveda. The question is, what happens when he finished? What happens when he told you already it's ready on Tuesday, come pick it up, and you don't? Is he a shomer sachar, or is he a shomer chinam, or is he off the hook completely? So here, the Mechaber writes, very interesting halacha, he says like this, the kulam, any uman, anyone who's working on an item, even though he's a shomer sachar, get this out of the store and bring me the money. If it's ready, I'm finished. The owner doesn't keep it. He moves down a level to a shomer chinam. But then the Mechaber continues. Bring me money and take your item. He's still a shomer sachar. So what are the two cases? If he says, take it and bring me money, you're a shomer chinam. If he says, bring me money and take it, you're still a shomer sachar. Why? So the Gemara explains. When you tell the person, bring me money and pay it, what are you telling him? You owe me $10. You're not getting your suit until I get my money. In that case, where you're being tough as a, you're not going to release it until you get your money, you're still a shomer sachar. If you tell the person it's ready, or he says, go take it and then pay me, he says, what you're saying is first take it and pay me when you have a chance. In that case, if you're ready to release it, even at that point, you're no longer a shomer sachar, you drop down to a shomer chinam. So if you're ready to release it, he can pick it up, you're no longer a shomer sachar. If you demand payment first, you're not going to release it until you get paid, then already you're going to remain a shomer sachar.
I assume it's not totally on the exact order of the lashon. I'm assuming it means basically no uman is going to release the product.
So today, that's true. Today, that's true. In the Gemara and Mechaber differentiates in the order. Because and it seems over there, it's actually Mavur, that if you say gemar, if you just say I finished it, without saying anything else, the default assumption was you're not going to hold it back. Take it, pay me when you have a chance. It seems that's the way business was done, and that's why the default is that you're no longer Shomer Sachar because you're going to release it, he'll pay you when he can. It's only when you say, bring me money and then take it, you're making it clear from the order that you want to get demanding payment first, then you remain a Shomer Sachar. Now, in practice today, I think you're going to have a very hard time picking up your suit or your car from the mechanic if you're not ready to pay. So even if they say gemartiv, it's ready, if the clear minog is you're not going to get the item until you pay for it, then we will not look at the exact language. You're going to remain a shomer sachar until the person actually comes and actually pays for it.
We have a dry cleaner here where we pay when we drop the roof.
Okay, so then he might only be a shomer chinam. Because when you prepay, the Machane Ephraim said, since he's not being tafes ha'igrei, he's not holding it as collateral, he may only be a shomer chinam. Now many argued and said, since he's benefiting, he'll be a shomer sachar. But in that case, clearly, the moment he tells you it's ready, then he's potter. Which means if he writes on the ticket, it'll be ready on Tuesday. So if someone breaks into the store on Monday night and steals it, he's a shomer sachar, according to most places, and he'll be responsible. But if it comes Tuesday night, if Tuesday you don't pick it up, you know it's ready, at that point, he's not holding it back. You can pick it up whenever you want. And in that case, l'kulei amah, he'd only be a shomer chinam. So if it gets stolen, or gnei v'aveda, he'd be off the hook. Now, how do we understand this halacha? You know, we understand, putting aside the Machane Ephraim, the reason why an uman is a shomer sachar is he's benefiting. He's doing work, he has a job, he's charging for his services, he has a din of a shomer sachar. The moment he finished doing the job, he finished working already. At that point, why does he still consider a shomer sachar? So here we have a very basic machlokes between the Ktzais and the Nesivos. The Ktzais says, you're right. Really, there's no reason for him to be a shomer sachar. What he's getting, the payment that he got, the fact that he had a job that's done already. He finished his work, he no longer has any benefit to holding on to it. However, Zok the Ktzais, if you hire a shomer to watch something, so you're paying him. Once he's done the job, Zok the Ktzais, if you tell him, okay, it's ready, go take it, you make it available for him and he can pick it up and he chooses not to. So since right now you're not getting paid anymore to watch it, you're no longer a shomer sachar. However, Zok the Ktzais, if you never gave him the opportunity to pick it up, even though from here on in you're not getting paid, your work is done already, but when you're a shomer sachar, you remain a shomer sachar until the owner has a chance to take it. And therefore, let's say the mechanic did the work, calls you up 3 minutes before five, okay, the job is done, come pick it up, I'm closing for the night. Now in that case, he did the job is done already. He's no longer benefiting by having it on his lot. But he didn't give the owner the opportunity to pick it up. Zok the Ktzais, you only lose your status of a shomer sachar when the owner could have picked it up. However, if he can't pick it up, either because you're saying, I'm not giving it to you until you pay, or if you tell him, it's ready, pick it up, but I'm leaving in 30 seconds, so you're just, practically speaking, you can't pick it up, Zok the Ktzais, you remain a shomer sachar. Now, based on this, the Tashbeit takes this to the next level. He says, let's say you tell the person, You made furniture for someone, the furniture is ready. Go pick it up. To pick up furniture is not so easy. You have to rent a truck, you have to hire a worker to help you. It takes a couple of days. Zok the Tashbeit, during this interim period, you're still a shomer sachar. Because even though now you have no benefit, the uman did his work already, he's entitled to his pay. Nevertheless, since you never gave the owner the opportunity to pick it up, because it takes a certain amount of time to arrange for workers and for this. It's not the Uman's fault, but the reality is the owner was never able to pick it up. Zok the Ktzais, you don't lose your status of a shomer sachar. So even though there's no reason for it, you have no benefit, it gets lost, if gneva aveda, you're still going to be responsible for what happens. Because when you become a shomer, when I pay you to watch it, you're responsible until you return it to me. Now, it doesn't mean you have to physically return it to me, but you have to give me the opportunity to take it. And if if to pick it up, it takes, there's a 3-day process to pick it up because they have to hire workers in a truck and it takes time. So then you have to give me 3 days notice. And until that time, you're still a Shomer Sachar. It's one big shmira. Your shmira is not over until I have the opportunity to get it back. Then if I decide not to get it back, that's my risk. But until I had the opportunity to get it, then I'm responsible. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if it's a personal oinus, that's not so clear. Now, the Tzoyis' case was where the Uman was closing. It's his fault, if you will. Not that he did something wrong, but he didn't give you the opportunity. Tashbetz added where it wasn't practical, it takes time to pick it up. If he could pick it up, but he had decided to jet off to the Bahamas for a vacation, so there you can say, I did my thing, I made it available, you had the opportunity to do it. Instead, you decided you want to be in Eretz Yisrael, you wanted to be overseas, that's your problem. Oh, excellent. So that is going to come back to haunt them. Because what we're really saying is, until 30 days, we're on the hook. So all these halachas, that once they're, you could pick it up and you choose not to, they're absolved from their responsibility. If it says specifically, after 30 days, we're not responsible, that kind of implies until the 30 days, they're on the hook. Now, perhaps you can be mechavet in a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar. It is a shomer sachar until Tuesday, 3 o'clock, or 5 o'clock, because now then he's benefiting. From that point on, he may only be a shomer chinam, where they'll watch it, they have to lock their door. If they're negligent, they'll be responsible. Masha Enkin, after 30 days, they're saying, don't bother us. Even if we're negligent, we're not here to watch it forever, and they're off the hook. So you'll have to read it very carefully to see what level, you know, if we can be medayik, that they're, what level of shmir they have until that 30-day limit. The Shaar Mishpat says a similar svara, but he has a very, really coming from the other end. He says the reason why you remain a Shomer Sachar is if the item is available, it's done, but you don't tell the Bailim, he says it's not fair to the Bailim. The Bailim can say, if we knew that it was ready, we would have watched it ourselves. So now that you, it's true you finished it. And it's true once you finish it, there's no benefits, you know, you're not getting paid, you shouldn't be a Shomer Sachar. But you don't have the right to leave my item exposed to the risk of Gnei Aveda. You have to let me know or notify me and give me the opportunity to watch it. If you're not going to let me watch it, then the fact that you don't tell me, that itself is a reason to become a Shomer Sachar. So you're responsible not because Shmira automatically goes until the owner has a chance to get it, but you're responsible because by not telling the owner and giving him the opportunity to watch it, that itself is a pshia or a reason to be chayiv. Now this is all in the shita of the Ktzois, that the shmira continues until the owner has the opportunity to pick it up. The Nesivis argues, and the Nesivis learns this halacha a little bit more literally. And he says, the reason why you're a shomer sachar is nothing to do with the original shmira. The original shmira that you were a shomer because you had a job, the moment the job is done, you're no longer a shomer. The point over here is you're refusing to give it back until he pays you. That itself is a schar. You have a mashkin. So you become, it comes out, you remain a, if you don't tell him, come pick it up, you can take it, you're a shomer sachar, but for a completely new reason. In the beginning, you were a shomer sachar because you had a job. Now you're a shomer sachar simply because you have collateral. But according to the Nesivis, if you got prepaid, even if the owner doesn't have a chance to pick it up, since right now the job is over, and right now you're not holding as collateral, according to the Nesivis, you would drop down to a Shomer Chinam, as opposed to the Ktzais. The Ktzais says the original Shmir remains until he actually has the opportunity to pick it up. That would be an afkamina between the Ktzais and the Nesivis. Now, there's a Machan Ephraim, there's a discussion about that in a case where the Mechaber says that this is all when you told the person it's ready, or pick it up, bring money, or bring money and pick it up. On the other hand, if you told the person specifically, get it out of my store, it's taking up space, I don't want to watch it, in that case, you're not a shomer at all. That being said, if the person didn't pay you yet, and you tell him, get it out of here, it's just taking up space, but you're not going to release it until he pays you, there already we have a problem. And there the Nesivis says, it's very nice you're saying, get it out of the store, I don't want to watch it. But if you're not letting him take it until he pays you, you don't have the luxury to say, I'm not watching it anymore. Because if you don't want to watch it, give it back to the owner. To say, on one hand, I don't want to watch it, but on the other hand, I'm not letting you take it until you pay me, That's a bit of a stira. And there the Nesiva says you're going to remain a Shomer Sachar until he actually comes. So in going back to the cleaner's case, where even if they tell you, if after 30 days I'm not a Shomer, that's very nice. If after 30 days, they'll give it to you and you'll pay later. But if they're not going to give it to you until you pay, then they can't say that. Because you can't refuse to give the item and say, I'm not watching it. That can't be, and there you're going to be chayiv. Now, the cleaners might be better, because the cleaners, when you gave it in originally, it was that they may have told you from day one, if you don't pick it up in 30 days, we have no responsibility. If from day one they tell you that after 30 days, we're going to hold it, but we're not going to watch it, so it's a tanai. You can make up whatever, DNA momentus, you can make up whatever you want. So that there, in case of the cleaner, they'll get away with it, because I died to the hachi, you gave it to them. But if there was no condition originally, you just gave it to the mechanic, and then after 30 days, he tells you, I'm not watching it anymore. If he's not ready to release it without getting paid, then that's not going to work, and he's still going to be responsible for Gneva Vaveda. That's a good question. In cases where, the place to generally say is, when every store has a policy about something, the cleaners where it's in the back of the ticket, and every single cleaners has it, so even though there's no signature, you don't sign off, you're being makabel those conditions. Now that being said, if you open a dry cleaners, and the back of your ticket you write, anyone who drops off 6 shirts on a Wednesday owes me $4 million, you're going to have a hard time enforcing that kind of clause. Aruch HaShulchan says you only accept normal tanoim that are in the fine print. If it's something which is abnormal that's in the fine print, then it's not going to be binding. So again, obviously there's room for dispute, but in general, if there is a policy, you know there's a policy, and you don't bother asking, you're accepting anything that's within the norm. Now, one last, just an interesting, there's another, Tej Beitz has an interesting case, where you gave an uman, you hired an uman to make a keli, to make something, but you wanted him to replicate, you wanted him to copy something. So you gave him the item for him to look at and for him to see what it's like in order to be able to make an identical one. Sure enough, while he was looking at it or after he looked at it, but the item was stolen. Is he a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar on the first item? So this is an interesting case, because on one hand, he's not really doing anything with the item. He's not using it, and he's not working on it. However, Zakta Taj Beitz, since he's using this item to teach himself how to make the other item, which he's going to make money off, that itself is considered a hana. That itself is considered a schar, and even though it's not direct, nevertheless, because this enables him to have a job, that's enough to have a din of a shomer sachar. Okay, so this leads us really to the next sugya, which is the sugya of uman koyne shvach kli, which I think many of the questions that people were alluding to are really going to be resolved by it. However, we'll have to wait for another 2 weeks to actually start that sugya.